Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, sisters and brothers in the Lord. We praise God for another day on October the 20th, 2021. This is the Agape Worldwide Prayer and Delivery Ministry of Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome you. We welcome the Holy Spirit in to come in, to move, to have His way, to speak through us, to pray through us. And we pray for people with a listening ear to hear the Spirit of God and not come with judgment, but come to seek the face of God, come to receive from the Lord tonight. And we just thank and praise God, like I say, for another opportunity tonight as we come before Him. We praise Him, we glorify His name, just for even being in the land of the living, in spite of the thing that's going on, in spite of what we have to deal with, in spite of what each and every person going through, because there's no one person that is not going through, no matter where they are in Christ or where they're not in Christ. We all are going through, but it's really to draw us closer to Him, to get us in a place where we truly trust Him and know that we need Him at all time, not just sometime, not just when we're up on the hill, up on the mountaintop, because there is a time come that we all must go down in the valley, because we have to know what it means to be up on the mountain. We have to know what it means in that valley to be able to help someone else. So we praise God tonight for His mercy. We pray for the world as a whole in the name of Jesus. We pray that the sovereign move of God will cross our land and touch people, not only just in America, but in other states, in other towns, in other cities, because we really need a move of the Holy Spirit at this season in our life, because there's so many people are so spiritual blind, and so many people so wrapped up in self, and so many people so wrapped up in what's going on, and we're not fulfilling the commission God has called us to do, to establish His kingdom upon the earth. And this is what we are supposed to be doing in the name of Jesus. But we're trying to establish this world and build it up as thinking we're going to live comfortable in this world. But let me tell you this, without Him in your life, I don't care what you got or what you don't have, you cannot have peace and comfort without Him. So instead of seeking for the things of the Word of God tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. And I see today more people seeking for the things of this world because they're thinking that that's what's going to bring them happy. That's what's going to bring them contentment. But let me tell you this. Every one of us got a purpose on this earth. It may not all be the same thing. Until you walk in God's purpose for your life, you will never be contented and never be happy. I don't care what it is. You have to walk in there. And everybody's not called out and made for the good thing of God, because there are times that God raises people up for other things. But we have to seek the face of God. We just come before you tonight, Lord. We thank and praise you for all that you are to us. We thank and praise you for your love, your mercy, your kindness. We thank and praise you, Father, for how you have had mercy on all of us, Father God. And, Lord, we just come against, Lord God, every satanic attack, Lord God, have attacked your people because we have allowed doors to be open, Father, in the name of Jesus. We have sought the world of darkness rather than seeking the kingdom of God. So we pray for that tonight, Lord. I pray against the murdering spirit, Father God. I pray against, Lord God, the attacks of the enemy upon people, upon the schools, upon the churches, upon whomever it is, Father God. I ask you to send forth your angels to ward them, Father, to help them, Lord God, to stand with them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to station your angel around these places, Father. Make people aware, God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, how we must keep our focus on you, how we must trust you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray right now for the nurses and the doctors and all those people, God, who are in the health field, Father God, who don't know whether to take this shot or whether to do what they think is less and lose their job. But, God, but whatever, we know you're still in control, Father, but let each and every person make the decision that you would have them to make tonight, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, right now, hallelujah, for your love, your mercy, your kindness, God. And we pray, Father God, against, Lord God, all the satanic power that is coming out against your people, God. But, well, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, call their ears and eyes to be open, Father, so they can begin to see, God, what's around them, begin to pray against them, begin to break the power of it, Father, right now, because you have given each and every one of us, God, an assignment to complete, God. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that we become stronger in you, God. I pray that people come off of this thing about the cares of this world and the things of this world, Father God, that are going to make them happy, Father God. Lord, well, but get in that rightful place in you. And, Father, when you said in your word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you said everything else is going to be added. So, Father God, give us a turnaround, God. Those of us who, God, is seeking for the things of this world and not for the things of the kingdom, God. Because, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we do not seek to be in that place for you and the things that concern you and the things that you are concerned about. When we get whatever we get in the world, Father God, we're going to still have to ask people for protection. But, Lord, we need to get to put the horse before the cart. So I pray for people tonight, God. I pray for every minister that you have called and truly called, Father. I pray for Holy Bolton for them, God. I pray for your angelic protection, Father God. I pray they begin speaking, Lord God, the word of God and begin to walk in obedience, Father God. And those who are not, Lord, I ask you, I know you're going to do it anyway because you said judgment begin at the house of God. Everyone, Lord God, who is not walking according to your will, Father God, Lord God, I ask you to deal with us, Lord God, to show us, God, the areas who are coming up short in, Father, in the name of Jesus, and those who are not preaching, telling the truth because they're trying to win friends and influence people. We come against that spirit in them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And, Father, let us search the word of Lord God for our own self, our own life, to realize, Father God, if we are not doing or walking in what the word of God said, we don't have truth. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, there are many truths, but only one is the truth. That is your truth. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, I pray for people in the hospital and nursing home. I pray for people even in the elderly facility. I pray for people, God, in the children's home and the mental institution, Father God. I just pray, God, for all the school system, God, whatever, from college all the way down, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask your spirit, Father God, to have your angels, Lord God. I ask you to send your angels, Father, in protection in the name of Jesus. But not only that, I ask you, God, to save and truly save those that need to be saved so we can come a place in you, God, and be able to reach heaven with our prayers and be on our watch. Like you have stationed every one of us on a watch. But to get on that watch, God, teach and show people that watch they need to be on, God, because you're going to hold us accountable. But if you have assigned a watch to us, God, and we're not on that watch, taking authority over the enemy and breaking his power, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I'm just asking you, Father, tonight, Lord God, because so many times you allow me to experience and see and discern, Father God, that a lot of us don't even know what our assignment is, God, because some of us refuse to know. And, Father, I'm asking you to open up the eyes of people, God. I'm asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to open up a spiritual understanding, Father God, to your word and to the truth, Father God. We come against rebellion and stubbornness in people, God, in your people. I'm not talking about the world people. I'm talking about your people, Father God. And we come against, Lord God, the people who, Lord God, they lukewarm in the body of Christ, Father God. We just come against, Lord God, all the religious spirits, Father God. We break the power of it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you to have mercy continue. You are having mercy upon us, God. But draw us into the clean kingdom of God. Draw me closer, Lord God. As I always tell you, Father God, whenever you're doing anything like that, always get me first. I don't want to leave myself out to think that I've already reached there, Father. Because if I'm not doing what the word of God says, then I'm not in the right place. And, Father, I praise you tonight. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, for what you're doing, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for the burden and the heaviness on my heart that you have given unto me for the body of Christ, Father God, and for the ministry, God, the people that are struggling with their ministry, God, because of all the rejection, all the fighting, all the enemy, Christians allowing the enemy to use them, God. I pray for those people tonight, God. I pray for whatever they need, God, spiritually, Lord God, that you would give them, Lord God, the anointing, the power to stand in the midst of this tornado, of the storm and the war that's coming forth, Father God. Don't let them give in and give out because of, Lord God, the attack of the enemy, God, because it's not coming from you. It's coming from the devil, Lord, to stop their ministry, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, Lord, my heart is heavy for them because, Lord God, going through the same thing, Father God, in the name of Jesus. But we have a mantle. We have a mantle that we have to carry. And some of us got a heavy mantle. We must carry it. It's a matter of life and death, not only just for other people, but also for ourselves. I pray for them tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the one that's not stepping into the calling, God. I ask you to send the fire upon them, God, and send them out and send them forth to let them know there are people that is accountable for them that they have to reach. They must reach in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name, and I come against fear. I break the power of fear right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of ignorance, which is unlearned about the things and the ways of God right now in the name of Jesus. I break your back, Satan. I command you that the kingdom of God will be established. Those who are called out, who you say are the remnant, they will obey you. They doesn't care about the people of the lack or don't lack. They doesn't care about the things of this world. All they care about is pleasing their Father. So, Father, I pray for them tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, tonight, Lord God, that many people, Lord God, that you show things and dreams and whatever it is, I'm asking you for God complete clarity, Father God, in the name. We come against any kind of confusion that the enemy will bring against any of us, Lord God, to not to understand your word, not to understand what you're showing, God. I pray tonight, God. I pray, Father God, that you would dip all of us down into the kerosene of your spirit and really set our heart ablaze, God. That Holy Ghost at the book of Acts is talking about, God, with the dunamis power, God, in the name of Jesus. And as I said before, God, dip me down in again, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I want to be so full that my cup runs over, that my cup will run over to people and their lives will change. Whether I say anything to them or not, Lord God, the Lord, even the rejection, Father God, that it will cover so, Father God, that it will come against me, but it will back off, Father God. And I do pray this over each and every person tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But I know, Father God, that you allow some things to happen in order to make us stronger in you, Father. And Lord, and those who just coming into the kingdom, God, I pray for them, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you put such a strong will and strong power in them. They realize and know that, Lord God, they need you now more than ever. In the name of Jesus. Not a religion, not a tradition, not a denomination, but they need, God, that relationship with you on a 101, God. They need to know you. And in the power of your might, Father God, but it's going to come through a lot of suffering, Father God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you tonight, God. And hallelujah, I pray for them, Father. Oh, God, I pray for them. I pray, God. Father, hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. I pray for them, God. I pray, God, that the joy of the Lord will come, God, because that's a strength, God. Oh, Lord, I reach out in the spirit realm and draw them all closer to you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you, Father God, right now to protect their mind, God, protect their heart, Father God. Everything about them, let them stand. You say, after all we do, just stand, Father God. Help them to put on, Lord God, the whole armor, God, so they can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, God. Scripture tells us we're going to go through that. We're going to even be worse. Lord God, the time coming is now. Hallelujah. And they're going to have to be able to be fully dressed. Every day, all night long, even in their sleep, Father God, because the enemy going to be attacking them in their dreams, God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, I pray right now, those who are truly real in you, God, those who truly wants to be real in you, God, those that want to play games, God, we're going to, in the spirit room, we're going to cut them off in the name of Jesus. In the name, because they are a hindrance to the kingdom of God. They are a hindrance to the kingdom, God, because that means that your kingdom is not being established. And, God, I pray, God, that you bring to my mind now to have your people to open their eyes up, God, and see. The only reason the enemy is running rabbits like it is because the body of Christ, and that includes all of us, is not established your kingdom like we're supposed to. Because if the kingdom of God would be established, the enemy wouldn't be running rampant like he's running. Now into the lives of the people. But, Father, open up our eyes so we can see in our ears, so we can hear you spiritually. And, Father, this I ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now because you said whatever I ask you in the name of your son, you said it shall be done. And, Father, I thank you right now. But I know you're hearing this prayer. I know you're going to answer. You're going to answer to those whose heart is open to your spirit. Those who really want to go deeper in you, that Lord God, you're going to answer us. You said those that hung and thirst after right, they shall be filled. So, Father, there's a lot of people tend to be hungering after right. They're hungering after your hand. But, God, you said those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the right way of doing things, not the way we think, but according to you and according to your word, Father God, I know you're going to fill them. And, Lord, I stand in agreement. Lord, put me in the midst of them also, Father. Let my cup run over. In the name of Jesus, don't let me give up and give out and get tired, Father God. Lord, keep me standing boldly and speaking the truth, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Father, for I pray all that each and every person, Lord, that really want to tell people the truth, don't want to sugarcoat the word, but let them walk it first of all. Lord, I'm asking you whatever they need to keep them standing and to keep them continuing to tell people the truth, whether they like it or not. Like, but Lord, let them understand that those people who don't want to go reject them, that's just the way it is. But help them to stand. Don't let them give in. Don't let them even pay any attention to what people say, what people think about them, how they look at them, how they critique them, whatever they do. Turn them to a blind ear and eyes to whatever they're saying to. Because why? When you're with us, it's more than the whole world against us. And Father, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we pray amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now. Thank you right now. But before I go to the word, I still got one hands up, so I'm going to go ahead and take that so I can go to the, hallelujah, to the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your spirit that I've already feel. We thank you for already moving, God. Oh, we praise you right now, Father God. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Like I said, I'm going to go ahead on and get this one caller that got the hands up, and then I'm going to go to the word. But before I go to the word, I'm going to say this. Because what the Lord's going to have me talking about, and they come out of St. John, the 12th chapter. And, but it's talking about when Jesus got ready to go, and he was getting ready to go to the cross. And I just want to say this. Everything that Jesus did, he did an example that we would do it, whether we do it figuratively or literally. It's something that must be done because the flesh has to die. And the spirit is what has to be resurrected. So it's a thing that must be done. And that's why God wanted every one of us to realize what you're going through, what people are doing, what people are saying. He's allowing you to go through the fire to crucify that flesh. That we are thinking, that we are doing, that we are this and we are that, and all because it has to die before the Spirit of God can truly be resurrected in your life. I'm talking about with power. It has to die. But anyway, we're going to go ahead on. Let me go ahead and get this caller. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God bless you, Apostle. Okay. I don't want to hold you up. I believe it's going to be an excellent word that we're going to be able to do we hear tonight. But you just prayed. The last part of that prayer was the prayer that I asked. So go ahead and teach your apostle. Teach the truth in Jesus' name. Go ahead. I'll do something later.
All right, then. Well, thank you. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go to St. John. St. John the 12th chapter, I'm start the 20th verse. And this was Jesus' final discourse to the people. He was telling the people, he was getting ready to go to the cross. Like I said, all of us, every person in the body of Christ, let me just say, you got a cross to bear. And that's the trial, the test. So even sometimes it'll be the cross of death. And not just spiritual death, but sometimes there are people in another country have to go through a physical death for the sake of Christ. When you read and study the Revelation, the book of life, a lot of them martyrs, and I don't know what's wrong with these modern-day Christians today, as they call themselves, they're not really Christian, but the martyrs were killed because of serving God and really obeying God and doing what they do. That's what they were called to do. A lot of us, same thing, but we run away from it. We run away from people even coming against us and people saying things. But all that is a part of living for Christ, every bit of it. But as long as you have not died to the flesh, then you're going to complain about it. You're going to what's coming about it. But it's a part of what you have to pay. It's not just us being blessed and getting stuff and things. Because I don't care what you get in life. You don't have to be saved. Whatever you get in life, you're going to have a fight to get it. But you have to be determined you're going to get it. That's life. This is why I'm telling the Lord today, I said, when I listen to people talk, and they don't really listen to themselves saying, they're not living in reality. They're living in what they think things ought to be, what they hope it ought to be. And just because we're serving Christ, we're supposed to be sliding on a banana peeling. That's not so. The only reason that the thing that we go through is a little bit easier for some of us because of trusting in Christ. Because if you didn't have Christ on your side, it'll be worse. Because you got the mark on you anyway. But the 20th verse say this, and then there were certain Greeks among them that come up to worship at the feast. They was having a feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we will see Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered him, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, when you think about this and read this, now, when he's saying glorified, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. A kind of mind said, but how can he be glorified? He's going to the cross to die. That's what his purpose was here for. That's what his purpose was here for. He will follow his destiny. And the same thing, like I said, with us. We are following our destiny. Whatever it is that come at us, come forth, or whatever it is, that is a part of that pathway that we have to take. And we must follow it. And those who try to skip it or try to skip the hardship or whatever it is, if he give you a chance to live, you're going to still have to go through it. You cannot deviate from it. You cannot skip it. It's a part of that cross. It's a part of the cross. Everybody got a cross. That's why I tell people, study the word, look upon the cross, especially in Hebrew and Greek. And down there, probably tell you different definitions, but the one when it's about whenever you tell you take up your cross, and I think the other night I was taught on that, and follow after him. Whatever comes at you, not just the good stuff and the sweet stuff and the apples and all that stuff, that is really, to me, it's dumb. Because it's not that way in the world, but because of Christ in you. And because of the whole armor of God, all the things he say, you can go through it just like a champ. See it and don't see it. But if I pay more attention to something, that's because I'm walking in the flesh. I'm walking in the flesh. But he said the hour is come. So that's a designated time for everything that in our life that we go through, whatever it is, and by allowing Christ to be in there, that he's going to be glorified. Because why? We came out of it in spite of what it was. Honor and praising because we're fulfilling our calling. We're not complaining about why this happened. I don't know why people don't like me. I don't know why people don't. What's going on? Because I can tell anyone, I know a whole lot more about rejection than a lot of people that are around me know. They don't even know what it is to be rejected. And you know you're giving people truth because you're walking it. Now, if I wasn't walking the word, I can understand people coming against everything that I'm saying. See, because the Bible says you know the tree by the fruit. And when you can see them fruits in a person's life, and they're just not talking. You know they don't pay the price. And each level you go in Christ, there's a price that you have to pay. You have to pay that price. You have to come through that cross. You have to die to your flesh. You die to your way of thinking. You have to die to your wants. Everything except what they put in Christ wants for you and has laid out for you. This is why I don't ask him, could I do this or could I do that or could I do the other? Whatever he allowed to come my way, he's given me and he's taken me in what I need. Well, I'm going to have to go on the cross and what die for. I'm going to have to give up. But it is, anyway, this is what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat falls in the ground. Now, Jesus was talking about him. It falls into the ground and dies. It abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. What he's saying is each and every one of us is like a corn of wheat. A corn of grain, or whatever you want to call it. It's a seed. Until we fold into that ground and die, type of ways, to what we think, to what we want, how we think we ought to do, or whatever it is, we cannot bear fruits unless it's the evil fruits that we still got in our lives. It's not talking it. This stuff has to be in your spirit, man. In your belly. It can't be in your head. This is why a lot of people are not growing, because the word is in their head. They know from Genesis to Revelation, but you don't see the fruits. But Jesus was telling them he had to go die. That was his destiny. That was his purpose on what in order for him to die so to bear more spiritual fruits. This is why he came down as mere man. This is why the Father sent him down as mere man to show us that we are in the flesh, but we must die and come back a spirit. Because if you remember the story about Jesus, when Jesus, after he died, it was written where he came back a spirit because he was able to walk into buildings and places that didn't see him. As long as we in the flesh, we cannot walk into these places. This why there are people with Christ. I'm talking about really have dying to the flesh. They can go in your house in the spirit. I'm not about being nosy. The Holy Ghost can send them in there. And they can know and tell you everything that even going on, even if it's sin in there. Because the spirit of God in them went. But these people have died to the flesh. They're not operating in the flesh. They have died to the flesh. But he said, unless he fulfilled his commission and go and die. He said, a person like that, they're battling alone. It means Christ is not with you. I don't care what we say, how we say it. As long as we're operating in the flesh. And people can go back and read Romans 8, chapter 1, and study that. As long as we are walking in the flesh, we are abiding alone because Christ is not going to deal with flesh. The Holy Spirit is not dealing with nobody in the flesh. Because flesh, a person in the flesh, will never obey God. Will never obey. This is why you've never hear me tell people that are operating in the flesh, okay, you know, you can obey God, or you can preach the word, or you can pray, you do that. Because why? The Bible said as long as a person operates in the flesh, the Bible said they will never obey God. They cannot obey God because they're walking in the flesh. This is why you have so much trouble with people trying to explain spiritual stuff to people, and then they arguing back and forth with you. They don't accept it because, see, they're operating in the flesh. They can never understand the things of the Spirit of God. It has to be spirit discerned. This is why a lot of times I know it has been mean talking to people about whatever it is. And they'll go into the fleshly realm, which is still the same body, that the flesh, the carnality, and worldly. All three terminologies mean basically the same thing. Basically the same thing. A lot of times when the Lord is using me, let me put it like that, to talk to people about maybe doing something or getting something or buying something, you know, buying something, they don't have the money to do it in the natural. And God would have me to tell them, because he came into a scripture, he had me to speak forth the word without them having the money. Okay, a carnal-minded Christian would have said to me and told me, well, what about such and such a place? And what about such and such a place? My first instinct is to go to the word of God. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. All of your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Because God can actually have angels supernatural hand you something down. God can have the angels come to your house and hand you something. The Lord had me speak a word to a lady back here. I think it was last year, but he had me speak it twice. And she had, it's a situation that she had where it was some property. She didn't even go down to the city to put it in. Now, she had went by and looked, but she hadn't checked on it. But some way, somehow, God had them put her name on the property. They sent her property tax, and she had to pay it by the price. So she called me, and we were talking about it. And when she was talking about it, I told her, somebody's going to come in your door. They're going to walk in the door. They're going to hand you an envelope. Before that week, I put Friday when the people told she had to pay it. Somebody came in and handed her the money for the tax, $300-something to pay the tax. You see, I'm talking about what I want, not what I think, not what I know God to do. God did that because basically going back, she hadn't even went down there to the city. She was looking at empty property. And she just looking. But however it was, however God did, nobody questioned him because it didn't make any difference. They called her. And when they called her, they told her the tax would do that Friday. And it was in her name when she called me. But see, I don't look at things impossible. I don't look at man to do anything. For man is not my source. I've seen God do too many supernatural things for me to think that I have to go through the system, I have to go through this, and I have to go through that. I'm not saying God won't use it, but it won't have me doing it. Speaking of word, and that happened twice to her. Happened twice. So I'm trying to tell people, I'm not talking to you what I just read in the Bible proved to me by allowing me to go through the things, allowing me to see the things. That's proof right there. Because I can read it in the Bible and never experience it. I still don't know it. But the revealing, the revelation of his word, well, when he proved it and showed it like that. But see, if I had not died, I'm still dying to my flesh. Okay? And I'm still walking in carnal and fleshly. I will be preaching, telling people to go the natural way to do it. Go the fleshly way to do it. Go the world way to do it. Because see, every tree is reproduced on kind. Every seed, a fleshly Christian, the people they minister to and talk to, guess what? They're gonna be the same way they are. A spiritual-minded person, kingdom-minded, when they speak, they're going to always be about the Bible, but they're going to be walking in it. They are going to be walking in it. And everybody that really receive it, guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be walking around and preaching it to them. I'm not talking about, there's a lot of people I know preaching. They don't walk in it. They know it, but they don't walk in it. Go behind the scene, they'll help God to bring the thing to pass. But a person that kingdom-minded, spiritual-minded, they won't. They'll stand still and look stupid, as people say. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Because they know if he made a promise, because when you die to your flesh, you no longer think the flesh the way. You no longer think the world way. You think God way. You would rather be called stupid for the kingdom of God rather than called, you know, you great because of whatever it is, but you did it your own. A lot of people testify, but let me tell you, they test the line. Because God didn't have nothing to do with it. Didn't have nothing to do with it. He said, but except the corn of wheat falls in the ground and die, it abide or not, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So basically what it is, like it's saying is, every person who is kingdom-minded, I'm not talking about religious mind, because you see religious people, everybody they talk to and everybody go to church, they're religious-minded. It's all about the activities. It's all about they say, no, I spend this kind of time with God. I read my Bible. I do all of that. But you don't see nothing spiritual or kingdom about their life. Because why? It's all a ritual. They're not getting true revelation from Christ. Because if they was, they begin to do things different. But anyway, going on down to the what's called, let me tell you what the scripture said. If any man, a person, serve me, let him follow. Let him, for what he does, he will become a disciple, based on what it means. A disciple is a learned student. It's somebody who obeys the word of God. Not just obey for they read the Bible, but they obey God. I don't care if it's coming out of a duck. Because they know the voice of God. They know. This is why a lot of times I'll say in our race or curse or mind or whatever you want to call it, that a lot of us do not walk in the blessing of God. Because why? The scripture tell us, to believe in the Lord your God, so shall it be established. To believe his prophet. A prophet is a messenger. Anybody speaking for God. The title of the name has nothing to do with what's in the person's heart. Most time when God gives a person a word to tell a person, they do not obey that word. They'll try to do it another way, or they try to get God to tell them another way. This is why a lot of time we as cultural people don't walk in that abundant life that Christ has. But we don't believe his word. We don't believe that he said, my sheep nor my voice and strangers would not follow. We think that everybody that is not us, that they are stranger. So we think we're following strangers, but we're not. But he said, it's the voice, my sheep nor my voice, not the vessel. But he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Let's not try to guide him or tell him what to do. Let's not asking him, can I do this, can I do that, and can I do the other. He said, follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant, he called him a servant. A servant is somebody who not just serves God, you serve God by serving all other people. You don't serve God by thinking that everybody's going to serve you. Now, he will have them to serve you. But you're called to be a servant. Jesus, Almighty, he came to serve people. So if he's going to set an example for me, then guess what I'm supposed to do? Serve people. I'm serving him by serving people. I don't serve him by putting myself first and everything, my company, you know, first, or even my family first, or whoever first. It's by whomever, he said, I reach out to people and to serve them in whatever capacity, whatever kind of way they want. I don't have to always prophesy to you or preach the word. That's what a lot of people get mad anyway, but I don't operate in the flesh. However the Holy Spirit chooses to use me, that's what's coming out and coming forth. And right now he's telling me, and I'm talking about this tonight, but he's telling me, my people need my word. They don't need a word. They need my word. Because, see, all they want to do is be pumped up on the word, pumped on the word. They're eating fast food, and that's all they want. But when this trouble is coming, if that word is not in your spirit, I mean in your spirit and everything about you, you are not going to stand because you won't be able to take what the people are going to be doing. Because right now, a lot of Christians, well, it don't make sense. It's just crazy. I don't know why people do this. If you are a true enough born-again Christian, those are things that come out your mind. You can never hear what Jesus said there. Since he set an example, and he didn't say it, then guess what? I'm not supposed to say it. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what nobody does to me. I would tell my testimony sometimes what I go through in order to let people know when you really give your life to Christ and really serve him, this is what you have to experience. But I'm not telling because no bitterness, no hurt, no pain in my life. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it, they shouldn't do this. Because let me tell you one thing about me. I know that I know, just like I know my color, that God has my back. Can't nothing touch me unless he permitted or alive. Whatever terminology you want to use, if it is, it's going to work to my good. This is why I tell you I stick to the word all the time. He said all things. He didn't say something. All things. Good, bad, or indifferent. This is why he's telling people, get back to my word, because you want to skip over some things. You want to skip over all the bad stuff. And they think all the good stuff. Well, why should it happen to us like that and it didn't happen to Jesus? Because he set an example. He said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Okay? If an individual do not give up their self-life and really serve me, because that's the only way you can do it. He said his Father would not honor them. We have to go back to the word. And a lot of times people say, well, I'm not like I used to be. They're making excuses, but I'm saying what the word of God said. Jesus in the red letter. Jesus was speaking this. So he's saying to each and every individual, give up your self-life. Whatever it is, and it's not what God says is his will for you, you need to give it up. I don't care what it is, who it is, or what it is. Then the Bible tells us he will receive us. This is why I tell anybody, and I've said this even to my daughter, don't put me first. Put God first. Give up your self-life. Because why? Then he says, whenever they do this, he said that he would honor, the Father would honor them. This is what he said also. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Whatever you're trying to hold on, or whatever you're trying to love more, you love God and say you don't, but you do because he know the heart, you're going to lose it anyway. This is why when he told me to do this, by giving up, this is why I said, Lord, I begged him to help me. I believe the Bible. I believe one way or another, if I hadn't obeyed him, I would have lost it anyway. Whatever it is, my own way, what I want, what I desire. Although he said something he going to give me, but he didn't tell me to put it above him. Because I needed to get in a place in him where he can be really first. So whatever he give me, I'll be blessed. Not put that above him. Because the one thing that I'm trying to tell people is this, Lord, you can tell people, when you're not in the place you're supposed to be in Christ, I don't care what you think. Then whenever God bless you, like I say, I know some people want God to really bless them. I'm not saying he's not going to do it, you know, with this great house, great all this thing. And as weak as they are now, if he must get them to the night, they're going to be praying the word of somebody to pray that they got protection. When Scripture say that you already got, if you walk in obedience to God, you already got angels walk with you. So what do you need me to pray for you for protection? Speak the word. Get in the will of God. Then you won't have to pray and ask God for protection because he'll automatically protect. He has the angel automatic protection. When you don't dash your foot against the stone, when you walk in obedience, see, but until you die to your flesh and come back with a spirit, then that's when you get revelation knowledge of who he is and who you is in him. But he said you're going to lose it anyway. And he that hateth his life in this world, let me got a strong this like I'm willing to give it up, Lord. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not talking about just the bad stuff. I'm talking about even some good idea. A good idea don't necessarily mean a God idea. But he said, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. See, and based on what it means, when I'm willing to give up all what I've given up to the Lord, it was by the grace of God. It was by the grace of God. So by doing that, then I'm going to have the life of Christ, the Zoe life, the highest element of life. That's just not me breathing, okay? I'm going to have it for life eternal. Scripture also tell me that in the word of God, that if I give a mother, father, sister, brother, land, everything, it don't be first in your heart. That's what it means. It don't be for mother, father, okay, who it is, don't be first in your heart. The Bible says you get a hundredfold blessing in this life and eternal life. I hear a lot of Christians have said you know, well, I'm going to get a hundredfold blessing. So God promised me, let me tell you something. What's going to be you have given up in scripture say? I don't care how you want to speak it, pray it, say it, or somebody lie to you and tell you. God is not going against his word. That's why I say anytime anybody preach, teach, prophesy, I don't care what it is. You better make sure it lined up with the word of God. You have to make sure. That's why he tells you to test the spirit. Because he's not going to come against his word. Not going to come against it. But anyway, I see where the enemy had me. I skipped that particular verse and stopped back to the next one. But anyway, I'm going to read that again, and then I'm going to go down. But he that loveth his life, I mean, you're so attached to it, you don't want to let it go. My way of thinking, my way of this, how I like doing things. And you know, I was telling someone recently, I went back to Abraham, you know, Moses and all of them. They didn't have all the things we had today to hear the word. But when they heard the word, whether from a matriarch, whether from God speaking to you, they obeyed. Now, we got all kinds of stuff that God speaks. But 90% of the Christians that I have dealt with over the years, they will not pay attention, listen, let God speak to them in person. That's pride. 100% pride. Because he's my sheep, nor my voice and stranger would not follow. If they had to live doing back during that day, they'd have died early and they walked with the Lord. Also, grace, God is merciful now. Very merciful. For God will use anyone, anything to tell you. Because first of all, like I say, God looking for an open spirit, a person who is open to his spirit. And he will give them mystery. He will give them revelation to help his people. Because you can't not go. And I was thinking the other day, I was talking to somebody. Just like going to school. You go to school the first, second, third grade on up. You ain't going there already. No, you got to have a teacher. You got to have a teacher. And it's those teachers who have finished school and went to college, got a degree. That's in their knowledge. But in the spirit, there are people, hallelujah, they have went to God's school. A spiritual infant, they'll die to the flesh, and God has given them a degree and said, okay, now it's time I have ordained you, not man, to walk in and teach my people. It's a period of time that has to take place, that God can trust you. God don't trust any of us just because we say it. He does not. That time that God come and try us, that self-life try us. And have us to do something, or give up something, or deny ourselves, and we won't do it. But what about me? What about me? What about me? God does not trust you. God does not trust you. I can go back with a quick testimony. Back in, I think it was 2013, one. Yeah, one or the other. But anyway, when the Lord had told me, this car he had given me, he had told me, this car was not a tax because the Christian would use you on the sake that manipulate you, to use you. But we sisters in the Lord, most of that's who it was. And the Lord wants you to do this for me and do that for me. But when they have amnesia. They have amnesia. They don't even remember about what you did or anything. They'll go to some of those and help them, if it's family or somebody else, but they'll help you. Okay, so God knows people's heart. I'm trying to tell people God loves all of us. Don't ever think. Like I'm not, maybe you mean God, I never will think with the help of God that God loved me more than he loved anybody else. I will never think that but his help. Because people think they can use one another, and God loved them more than loved everybody else. Okay? So basically they can do it, they get away with it. God has no respect to person. No respect to person. If I sin, he's going to judge me. If somebody else sin, I don't care if I done did everything that I thought I'd big enough to do in the world to help him. If I do any kind of sin intentionally and willfully, I'm going to be judged. Because this is why he said he gives to every man, not some man, every man according to his ways of doing. You can think you're doing right, and you can feel somebody else can lie to you, tell you're doing right. But let me tell you one thing. God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. But the Bible tells us the only way a man can really serve him, you got to give up that self-life. You got to give up sometimes your desires, what you want to do. This is why I say over a period of time and learning, because what it kept me through. I don't ask God if I can do this, if I can go this place, or if I can whatever. I allow him to tell me, because now I'm bought with a price. Now my life is in his hand. I'm sure that if he wants me to do something, or be there, or whatever it is, then he'll tell me. Because now my life don't belong to me. This is why I'm telling people that everybody at different levels of growth in Christ. And something because of what God has done in them, they don't desire and do the thing and say the thing that other people does. They don't do it because he has taken that out of them. Now they truly rely on him for everything. They're allowing him to lead their life. Scripture say this even in 23rd Psalm. It's talked about he will lead you in the green pasture. He never say that we're going to lead him to where the green pasture is. He never said that. Okay, here, I just said he said them that follow him. Follow him. So follow him, that means I don't know where I'm going. I got to allow him to lead me, not tell him how to lead me. Tell him what I want to do. That is a person who has not died. They'll not die to their self-life. Because why? That controlling spirit, that Jezebel spirit, the Python spirit, all these different spirits still operating in their life. Because why? You can tell the master what you want to do and when you want to do. That don't work like that. That means that's a person. They're going to eventually have to go on the cross. And sometimes I got to let them stand up a long time before they stop trying to maneuver him and maneuver other people. But I'm going to read that 26 verse. If any man, any person, any mankind serve him, let him follow him, become a disciple. We all need to be stay. I don't care how long we've been in the Lord. I don't care how long we have experience with God, whatever we think we all of this and all of that. The Bible lets us know that we got to stay a disciple. A disciple is a learned student that obeys the word of God. And a lot of times we have to be disciple by a teacher or a master, which is the same thing as a teacher. We have to, because our spirit man has to be taught. Our spirit man has to be ranged in. Because why? Sometimes we've been in the world, some verse coming, we're running here and there, everywhere. Nobody can tell us anything. We just book up and run. But a true man or woman of God, they know when their spirit is wild and being long range, and they'll range it in, not to hinder them to stop them, but keeping them from going forth and destroying their destiny, destroying their purpose in Christ. Because only just like with mothers, and you know, could be aunts and everyone that has kids or has niece and nephew. Okay, you have gone through things in order to teach them and to let them keep them from bumping their head. Now, sometimes some of the parents, they don't do it. They let them do whatever they want to do. And then time the child get unruly, then the child is ruling them. No respect, even when they get 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, or whatever the age is. At the same way people try to do in the kingdom. But you have to always have somebody that you're accountable to. And I'm talking about to the point, look at that, whatever you do, and that they journey with the Spirit of God. What they would do will correct, reprove, rebuke you out of love. That's to God's order. But I'm not talking about people that ain't doing right themselves and that really God has not really called them to do that because they're not walking that place because they're not walking in total obedience to God themselves. But when God has taken them, they have died to the flesh. They're not looking at things in the flesh. They're looking at the Spirit. They're trying to overthrow you. But a fleshly Christian would think, and I'm talking about what I went through with a pastor, they thought you were trying to hinder them. I had people in the ministry that I was ministering to, and you know, and I knew most of them was preachers, but they weren't spiritually ready to preach. They didn't know Scripture. But also, they was unsubmitted, hard-headed, rebellious, stubborn. They was always trying to tell somebody something, but nobody couldn't tell them nothing. Okay, they wanted to come in and change the order of service. They wanted me to come in and let them start the preaching. God didn't tell me. Well, you're trying to hear them. That's what they went out and said. I said, let me tell you this. The years that you claimed to be in Christ and I wasn't around you, why he didn't put you in ministry then? I'm not your problem. So, but I was a fleshly spirit because if they had the right spirit, and they first of all know I was obeying God, and second of all, they knew I had to fear God. If God told me to do anything, there's no way that I would intentionally disobey God. Even if he sit me down and put them up. Because why? When you go through and you die to the pit, you go, God put you in the ground because that seed has to go in the ground and stay on that work for a season. Nobody plant a seed in the ground today to come up tomorrow or next week or next month. And the same thing, whenever God takes a person and died out of their flesh, you're not going to come out overnight, or 2 or 3 weeks, or 2 or 3 months, or even 2 or 3 years. It's not going to happen like that. It got to cultivate under the ground where nobody sees it. Nobody, so nobody may not even see you. Nobody may not even thank you, called, or whatever it is. God got you sitting back, waiting. He's humbling you down. That's what he's doing, humbling you down. He says, you humble yourself on the mighty hand of God, I will exalt you in due time. Not man, not myself. I'm telling you what he had to do for me over the years, and even recently or whatever it is, I stayed in the background. But one thing about me, I had to learn, whatever door I open, it's going to close, or vice versa. But if God opened the door, no man can shut it, no matter how they try. They can't shed it. But see, that come from dying to the flesh. That come from giving up what I thought I ought to do, giving up myself life. That's what it was called to do. But anyway, the 27th verse, now is my soul trouble. And what Jesus was saying is, what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came out into the hour. What he said, he still asked the Lord to save him. But then again, he yielded to the Holy Spirit. He yielded to the Father. So, but this is the hour that I came. This is my purpose. Whenever you and I come to a trial or to whatever it is, and somebody coming against or whatever it is, even because you're really dying, that's what the purpose for that test or that trial, for you to die to your flesh. Instead of looking at it the other way, the flesh kind of way, because a baby, a person that cries all the time, because you got a lot of people in the body of Christ. They worse than them babies. They cry all the time. Cry all the time. Just like when you correct a baby, tell a baby to shut up, and while you're crying, I ain't crying. And those people, they do the same thing. The only they say, well, I understand. But you're crying because you think it shouldn't happen. Can't no devil in hell do anything to you unless God step back to live. But it's never to destroy you. It's to perfect you, mature you. You have to be matured in the kingdom of God to do the work of the kingdom. And sometimes, yeah, God will start us out crawling. We'll crawl through some years. And then as he see, be faithful with a little bit. So he should be faithful with truth and make you brutal men. Then he will add to you. You don't ask God to add to nothing to your life. You don't ask. I mean, I've heard people tell people, you know, ask God about you when a minister. Ask God to give you a gift. That's not scripture. He already knows what he done called you to do. He already know what's in you. And a lot of times we be doing things that don't work. We may not be going by the name of the child, but the work is already in us. The work is coming forth. Because why? It's already in you. This is why a lot of you may have seen people out there that drink. Drunk as a fish. Preaching, you can feel the anointing. Why? Because the calling is in their life. And it got to come up and come out. Now, no, it's not on their life, the anointing, because they're still in sin. But the gift and the calling, don't care what it is. The Bible says without repentance, I mean, you can't give it back. They can't give it back. So, see, religious people got it, but they ain't got no business doing that because everybody ain't playing with God. Well, some of them in church playing with God. They may not be on the streets, but they ain't walking in total obedience either. They just doing stuff, and they think how people feel the anointing. Oh, I got to be anointed. The gift is, but they're not on their life, because you have to live a crucified life, a purified life before Christ. You got to die every day. Think about Paul. Okay, when Paul got really filled with that Holy Ghost, when he knocked him off of that mule donkey, whatever it was, you know, he went blind for a few days, and the Lord had sent him to this man to see him, and the man prayed from the eyes old. But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, I can't read nowhere in the Bible where he went back to killing people and rejecting them and come back fighting against them. He said, I die daily. This is the way it really is supposed to be in the body of Christ. When a person truly get born again, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying born again, because born again, you come in your spirit. But that's another level, according to the book of Acts 1:7, 2:4. Baptized and being baptized, that dunamis power come in. And what it does, it come in, it controls all of your fleshly nature. It's what it do, even your desires, it constrain them. I use that word because the devil trying to cross up my tongue. But it will constrain them. You can't do or act the way you acted in the world. I'm not talking about that drinking and the what's going on, because people think that's all it's sin. I've seen a lot of nasty attitudes with saints. I've seen saints like to throw rocks back at people when they've been got mad and got offended. Because why? They're still walking in the flesh. But when that comes in, the Holy Spirit won't even let you even do it. Won't even let you think about doing it. I'm going to use the people in what's going on. A lot of times people in the body of Christ, they really say they're not, they're really correcting because they're doing what the Bible say do. But them in the world, even with them doing it, they won't say a mumbling word. They'd be just like Jesus was when he was on the cross. He never said a mumbling word no matter what they did to him. If he is the example, then guess what? We put the follow suit after him. So this is why people got to understand you got a destiny and you got a course to do in order for God to operate with you with anointing on your life where it's making a difference when you go places. Let me tell you something. When walking in that particular kind of anointing, you don't die to the flesh. You can walk into a building and go in there for something. People don't know you, don't know what it is, and God would have people come up in whatever you came there for and have them give it to you. It's the anointing that destroyed you. All this stuff that people praying about, I want you to pray for, I have favor when I go. The Bible says you show mercy and truth. You have favor with God and good understanding. He said you have favor with God and man. So what does that mean? I mean, I don't have to ask for favor. Just do what the Bible say do. Obey what the scripture say do. And if God want me to have something when I go in that place, then guess what? I don't have to do the talking. And I'm talking about what I know and I have experienced. I've had it so that when I went in, not because I'm anything, but Christ in me is everything. Walked in a place. God had other people talking to me. And I'm looking at them. I'm just looking at them. They're just talking. And I know that these people, God was using them. It wasn't that they were trying to be nosing all this stuff and into my business. And that's another column out of the world of thing with Christian. They enter my business. Let me tell you one thing I used to hear, and some of you probably heard it too. People used to say that God won't tell your business, but let me tell you that's a lie too. God will show and tell true prophets things about you as well as he tell people some things about me, vice versa. If he tell things to you about people, he tell people things about you too. Nothing is hidden in the eyes of God. This is why a lot of times God has taken people in places in the spirit. Like I said, they have died. They are still continuing to die. This is why the revelation knowledge of God just pops to them. Just pops. There have been times that God had me just preaching and teaching when I was pastor. A lot of times he didn't have me studying because I stayed studying all the time anyway. And then while I'm preaching, sometimes I'm giving a new revelation will come right in my mind right then. And I tell the Lord, I got it. Because of living a pure life before Christ, a pure heart before Christ, I can only do it with his help. I can only do it with his help. Without him, the way people had dug at me and pushed at me, what's up? If he wasn't helping me, if I won't be dead, now I'd probably be in prison. You can only do it through him. You only do it when he crucified him. He got you in a tight place where you can't do nothing, you can't go nowhere, you can't whatever it is. Okay, when he got you in that place, God is crucifying your flesh. You are on a figuratively cross. That's what it is. Because why? Every door you try to go in, every way you try to make it, it's just like a slam in your face. Most Christians think it's the devil. I think people trying to keep me. Those will call not Christian. Because he tell you in his word, whatever door I open, no man can close. There's some doors God don't want us to go in. It sounds good, seem to be good, but it's not really true to the door that he wants. So we can't wait on him. So we're being led by our flesh and didn't get in it. Now I got to pray for somebody to get me out. But there's a place in Christ that is the anointing that destroys you. It don't take talk. It don't take all this stuff. And like I said, a lot of times when people just praying for people, there come a place when you walk in that level. You don't have to pray. You can speak the word because that level where you are in the spirit. This is why you hear me say, and I've said before, and not just so about me and all of that stuff, but there are people that in love with God that other people's not in. They got that relationship with the Lord. And they sit and they wait on God and wait on God and wait on. People call, be calling them crazy. Like they call me misfit, stupid, the this, that, and other. But we'll see who had the last laugh. Because everything that they get, they got to make it be. But watch, they see that person. And God just said that thing come into them. Just let them come. They ain't got to go and do all these other things to get to make nothing happen. But it come from going in the ground and dying. And I'm not talking about physically in the ground. But you bearing all that mess, all that way of thinking, I'm smarter than this, and I know it all about this. And what people do not understand, and I told Lord, I would get so tired of hearing it. I don't care what knowledge I know. I know because of Christ, because he's all knowledge. And that's just not me. That's anybody. I'm just using me as an example. I will never, with his help, take the credit and the glory for what I do know. I would never do that with his help. Because I know it comes from God. That's why God is sometimes smart. We have other people smarter in some areas that I'm not smarter in, and vice versa. Because he gives to each man, each person, as he sees fit. He didn't give it to us. None of us deserve it. None of us. But he gives it to you because you want to use it for the kingdom of God. I got people in my family. They're smarter, much smarter than I am, but intellectual. Now, I believe for the Bible that I'm smarter because I got the Bible in me, because I live it. But intellectual, but God gave it to each person as he see fit. I never was jealous of any of them being smarter than me. Never. Because even being a sinner, I know God had to do it. But once I came in Christ, he said, all gifts, they come from Christ. All knowledge. He give it as he see fit. For the work of the body of Christ. He gave me the knowledge about the Bible and the things of the Bible because I got to teach and preach the word and bring deliverance, healing, what comes. He didn't give me the knowledge about, I can count and do all the, a lot of multiplication. You know, I can do that. But I'm not going to use me that in business. I'm going to give them the spiritual wisdom. Or the either, you got a lot of Christians, they love the history of the Bible. He didn't tell me to go into history at all. But they're going to go to a people. Maybe that's the way God is taking them. That's why each person has to die to their own will and way and walk in the calling that God has called for them and don't try to make other people join in what they did because why? The thing that he carried them through is for their particular people they got to reach. The Lord told me, and I'm going to get ready to close. The Lord told me that a lot of the people, and this is when he had me start the Bible study, he said, a lot of people going to come to you. They can't read. They can't spell. They can't understand anything, really. And people that hurt in church, people that maybe don't have, but I'm breaking you down to none of my people. So even with the little education I had, he was saying, I'm going to have to fix that because you can't be throwing no big words to my people. You can't be doing that. You got to break down to their level. This is why I'm trying to tell people, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. We got a certain people to go through. I probably won't go to none of the people y'all go to. Y'all probably can't minister to the people that I minister to. And not because any one person is better than the other, because we put the Holy Spirit and train you for the particular people. This is why a lot of people get messed up and hurt, because they're trying to preach and teach to people and talk to people that God never called them to. Then they get mad with them because they don't want to hear. Because like I said before, if people understand and discern by the Spirit, God would tell them the people that they supposed to minister to. And then they can help them people. But a lot of people I know, I see with me, a lot of people that have over the years, I'm talking about over the years going back, they have tried to minister to me. That's something I'm living and teaching. Because they did not discern from the Spirit of God that I wasn't the one that's supposed to be trying to tell. But because of coming up in religion and church, I think you're just sharing. But most times, those people in carnality, they're killing your spirit. They can't bring life. You have to have life to bring life. And they don't understand it because they think, but you're telling, well, she just don't want, they don't want me to try to tell them, I know it's come from the Lord. You may know that, but their spirit telling them it is not. It's come from your flesh. But except the corn of wheat, for remember each and every one of us, you got to go on your bigotry cross every day and say, God said, okay, now you have given up all of your self-life, all of your idea, all of your will, all of your way, what you think, all of this, what you think of that. So now I can be able to put my anointing up on your life. And now you do and go where I tell you to go and do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. If I tell you to sit down and look stupid, you're going to sit down and look stupid. You're not going to be persuaded by yourself, not by people. But it's time for God is saying for his people got to realize, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, except you die, except Jesus died, we know he came back to flesh. But except he died for the Spirit of God in him to come forth, that's when he was able to do a lot of things. That's when he was able to walk in doors and walk in windows and all that stuff and people see him. That's why he's able to walk in the presence of people. A lot of times they didn't even recognize he was in the presence because he was in the Spirit. We're supposed to be spiritual beings. And we're supposed to be kingdom minded in everything. Whatever you do, whatever you want, whatever you lack, you're supposed to be. It's about the kingdom. It's not about you and your personal need and what you want to do and what I want to best. Whatever I'm designed to do, Lord, how can it be a blessing to your kingdom? Because if it can't be a blessing to your kingdom, I don't need it. That's my flesh wanting. That's what it is, my flesh wanting. And we have to be so very careful. Like I said, I am going to get ready to go because I was talking to a person, I think it was yesterday, the day one, the day, probably the day. But anyway, they always tell me I'm making money. They always tell me houses and all this stuff, but I never hear them say, I'm going to have these houses and I'm going to let somebody live in who don't have a place to stay for the season. I'm going to bless somebody with a house. It's always about them. It's always about their children, always about their grandchildren. So now, that's a person still living in carnal houses. They don't have the heart of God. When you got the heart of God and God changed you, you never really think about yourself. It's always about other people. That's why when I came on today, my heart was so burdened because my heart was more about other people. And that when I'm seeing with the Lord, with me, because he had a word given last night, he always talking to me about his work, his kingdom, and how people to be delivered and how he want to use me for that. When I'm in a situation where I really desire for God to tell me, give me direction, tell me what I mean. I know the address and all that stuff. But he will not tell me anything about that. Nothing about what I'm experiencing personally. Nothing. Yet he tell me about the ministry and what people are doing and how they're doing it about that. But it's always about the kingdom. Because that's my heart. It's about the kingdom. True, it's not a cliche. It's not something I say. I don't want anyone to know me. I want them to know Christ. This is why you hear me say sometimes the things that I say. I don't care if people ever know me. I don't care if they ever see me. But recognize Christ. Because why? I have died to all of that. I have died to all of that. Even now to other people, I've died to that. I've been put in that ground figuratively. And died to every bit of that. So I can love you at a distance. I'm trying to really love you. If I see you, it ain't going to make me love you no more. It ain't going to make me love you no more. I love you enough to correct you. I love you enough to push you toward your destiny, toward Christ. That's what I love. That come from him taking me through the process and causing me to stay in it, nailing me to a cross. I couldn't do nothing, couldn't come out. I couldn't talk to Christian people. Just like now, 90% of the time I cannot talk to Christian people about what I'm going through and what God is doing. So they think I'm missing. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about them. Because why? You have to be and went through this process completely, but you can understand what a person spiritual is talking about. And I understand they test and they trial. I understand even when they're telling you something about what's going on. But we got to come to a place. My heart is so, so heavy, so great for the body of Christ. And this includes me. This is why you hear me praying for a revival. Not this church mess they're having, because it ain't reviving nobody. They're getting big-headed and big-headed. They're getting money-headed and money-headed. Material, what's called? And they ain't caring about the souls of the people unless the people are going to receive what they say. But see, they didn't receive Jesus. They didn't want him. And if you really are Christ, until it's a real person that really, really wants Christ, they're not going to want you or what you got to say. That's just the way it is. I just want to encourage you all, don't give up, don't give what you got, don't get out of that place that you want people to accept you and this, that, and the other. People, Christians, they put their love one another. You can't love if you ain't got Jesus in your heart. That's it. They don't know how to love. Read your Bible. Read Romans, the 8th chapter. See, because when the Spirit, when you've been crucified and died and you've been in that ground, when you're reading or when you even talking, you're talking because it's a spiritual enlightenment God has with you, because now you're in the Spirit. And you're seeing in the Spirit what that word means, not flesh. And most time, well, like I said, it is with me over the years, that was people that they hadn't been through that process. So they're thinking that I'm not knowing what I'm talking about. I don't, but the Spirit of God in me does. I didn't get it from man. I didn't get it from out the air. I didn't get it from this. I got it from reading the word, and God opened it up to me. Why did he do that? Because I am not only me, and some of the rest of the teacher, I'm a teacher of the word. Being qualified by God, not by man. Walking in my destiny, not going to walk in it. He has already promoted to say, okay, now you are my teacher, because I passed the process. That's why people are always trying to get me to go into the other direction. They will do this to you. But y'all be encouraged. You know, like I said, my heart is on fire tonight for the things of God. You know, it really truly is, because I want to see people come together in unity and love one another. Stop trying to beat others. Stop trying to be jealous of others. Stop trying to go over other people and all this stuff. You know, paint myself big. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But we come together because he will not be back. I don't care what nobody says, the scripture says, until we all come to the unity of faith. And the real gospel is not being preached all over the world, because it's not changing lives. It's not changing lives. Because if it's changing lives, if the real gospel is being preached, people's lives will be changed. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. I don't care all this stuff about people out there preaching, telling people, prophesying, all this prophet lies, you know, all this stuff, and Jesus is going to come back next week and next week. The devil is a lie, because a lot of us, he have given calls and said, okay, I'm going to use you the next 10 years, I'm going to use you the next 20 years. So if that be the case, that means that he can't be telling you he's going to come back in that time. A day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. But we all are not into the unit of faith. You know that, you see that. So when somebody telling that lie, when they hear God say this, you know that's a lie. But we have more bickering going on in the body of Christ than people have in the world. How can we have a new, my face, my what come over God, my. No. But anyway, love y'all. And what's going on? I guess I better get on off of here. What's going on? But, just like I said, if the Lord leads you, pray for me, just say that I stay on the top, that I don't give in, because I'm going through a lot of pressure with people at this time. Praise. Should I stay on the top and obey God? I'd rather he stay with me and everybody else have to leave me. I need him. So there is a people that he has already set aside. That's for every one of us. I don't care how many people reject you or whatever, that already set aside, that he's going to have your message. This is basically like a training to see if you can handle it. But love y'all. Be blessed and have a blessed night. And, should we talk again, or however the Lord leads to be on the show again? We'll be tomorrow night, the Lord's will, on free conference. But be blessed and have a good night.